While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good afternoon to you, Namibia, and a warm welcome. And thank you for joining us, whether you're near or far. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM, the home of insightful conversations and real national dialogue. I'm your host, Nafa Happy Juju, and this is On The Reading News Analysis, where headlines meet context. It's Tuesday, 13th of January, 2025, and the time is 5 minutes past the hour of 1300 hours. Now, across the country, the rhythm of New Year is settling in. School uniforms are once again part of the daily routine. Early mornings are back on the clock and households are adjusting to the demands of the academic calendar. While the school term is already underway, the realities of the education system continue to unfold, revealing both progress and persistent challenges. Now, for many parents and guardians, this period brings renewed pressure. Transport costs, school-related expenses, safety concerns, and the ongoing responsibility of ensuring children remain supported, motivated, and protected. Now, for teachers and school administrators, the year has begun with full classrooms, tight resources, and the familiar task of doing more with less, all while carrying the responsibility of shaping the nation's future. Education remains firmly at the center of Namibia's national conversation. As the term progresses, critical questions demand attention. Are schools adequately prepared? Is infrastructure keeping pace with growing communities? Are learners safe, supported, and able to access quality education regardless of where they live? From overcrowded classrooms and infrastructure shortages, to teacher capacity and curriculum relevance, the gap between policy intentions and classroom realities is once again under scrutiny. What is clear is that education is not just a sectoral issue. It is a national priority that shapes social stability, economic growth, and long-term development. Namibia finds itself at a defining moment. The choices made now by government, education authorities, parents, and communities will determine not only outcomes for this academic year, but the trajectory of an entire generation. Now, right here on the radar, we go beyond the headlines. We examine the implications, interrogate the gaps, and ask the questions that matter most to ordinary Namibians. From urban centers to the most remote villages, in a time of adjustment and expectation, remain committed to informed analysis, credible voices, and meaningful dialogue. From 1300 hours to 1430 Monday through Friday, On The Radar brings you expert insight, lived experiences, and journalism that doesn't just inform, but empowers. So today's program focuses on realities on ground in regards to education. You can tune in on all Eagle FM frequencies, stream us via the Eagle FM app, and stay connected through our WhatsApp channel for updates, discussions, and audience polls. So wherever you are, in traffic, at work, or at home, stay with us. This is where Namibia pauses, reflects, and plans its future. Because right here on the radar, the truth is never out of reach. Now let's turn to today's top stories. The Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture, Sanet Steenkamp, has officially announced the 2025 October-November Namibia Senior Secondary Certificate Ordinary and Advanced Subsidiary National Examination results earlier this year. That is the NSSCO and the NSSCAS. Now, the announcement marks a major moment for thousands of learners across Namibia who sat for the national examinations, bringing clarity on academic performance and opening pathways to higher education, vocational training, and employment opportunities. Now, in her address, Minister Steenkamp presented an overview of national performance, including overall pass rates, subject-specific outcomes, and comparative trends from previous years. She highlighted areas of improvement while also acknowledging persistent challenges affecting learner performance, particularly in under-resourced schools and rural communities. The minister emphasized the importance of NSCO and NSCAS examinations as key benchmarks within Namibia's education system, noting that the results will inform policy adjustments, curriculum refinement, and targeted support interventions aimed at strengthening teaching and learning outcomes. Steenkamp also commended learners, teachers, and parents and school management teams for their resilience and commitment throughout the 2025 academic year, despite challenges such as infrastructure shortages, resource constraints, and socio-economic pressures affecting the education sector. Addressing learners directly, the minister encouraged candidates to review the results as a step in a broader journey, urging those who performed well to pursue further studies responsibly, while motivating those who did not meet expectations to explore alternative education and skills development pathways. Now, the ministry confirmed that individual candidates can access their results through their respective schools and official ministry platforms. Parents and learners have been advised to rely only on verified communication channels to avoid miscommunication. The release of the 2025 NSCO and NSCA results is expected to reignite national conversations on education quality, learner preparedness, and equitable access to opportunities across the country. Now, further details, including statistical breakdown and analysis, are expected to be shared by the ministry in obviously in due course. But of course, do head over to our Facebook page, that is Eagle FM Namibia, as we do have something up for you right there. For now, let's take a listen to the minister, that is Sanet Steenkamp, speaking at Government Park today about the announcement of the results.
In the 15th place, we've got the female Ndahambelela Vatilifa. She here. Congrats. Officers, you will attest now. Obach, female, Vinduk High School. Fantastic. The 18th place, go to Alexander Bertelsmann, male, Educate Academy, Omasati. And the 20th place, go to Magnus Muronga from Rundu Senior Secondary School. Kabango East. It's getting hot in here. I'm not sure if it's the results of the AAs or whatever, but I'm telling you, if people are telling you we sit in government offices, in air-conditioned offices, you will attest now. Yeah? Ladies and gentlemen, that is the cohort of top-performing AAs full-time candidates, and they reflect a strong academic attainment across the country. There is no limit to the human potential we have in our learners and in our teachers. There's a notable concentration of high achievers from Oshikoto and Omosati regions, particularly Oshigambo High School and Onawa Senior Secondary School. The distribution highlights centers that continue to demonstrate effective preparation for advanced subsidiary level demands. While the male candidates constitute the majority of the top performance, the presence of the several high-achieving females candidates underscores steady progress towards balanced gender representation at this level. And I think here the Deputy Minister and our first gentleman will be so happy to see the growth, like all of us, of the boy child. No one should feel that they are not worthy to be achievers. We can see it here. They've worked for it. The National Rank Order of Schools, NSSC level, advanced subsidiary, full-time candidates. In this section, we recognize the outstanding performance of schools based on the cumulative achievement at grade D and above. Only schools in examination centers with a minimum of 100 subjects entries are eligible for inclusion in this ranking. There must be a criteria. The rank order is presented in two distinct categories. The first one I will focus on is the public schools, and the second one that I will focus on is the private schools. The top 10 public schools for NSSC AS full-time candidates. Position number one, ladies and gentlemen, Rukonga Vision School, Kabango East. The second place, go to Onawa Senior Secondary School in Omasati. The third place goes to Engejo Senior Secondary School in Ongwena Region. Ladies and gentlemen, brace yourself for the fourth place, Epukiro Post 3 High School. Oh my heck. I think the governor will not be sleeping tonight. The fourth place, ladies and gentlemen, there's for everyone a place under the sun. Grootfontein Secondary School, Otjesinjupa Region. The sixth place is taken by Oshela Secondary School in Ongwena Region. I think sometimes my heart is still there, although I'm now serving on national level. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be intrigued to hear that the seventh place is led by Komas A. Shipena Secondary School. Man, goosebumps moments. I'm telling you. Let's move to the eighth place, ladies and gentlemen. Kanjimi Murangi Senior Secondary School, Kavango West. Kavango West. In the ninth place, nationally, AS, we have Negumbu Senior Secondary School in Omasati. And then the 10th place, ladies and gentlemen, Hardap Region, Dr. Lemmer High School. Can we move to the top 10 private schools? AS, full-time candidates. The first place, Omasati Region, Kanisianum Roman Catholic School. In the second place, Yalsin and Kurunkuru High School, Kavango West. Oshigambo High School, Oshikoto took the third place. In the fourth place, we've got St. Joseph Roman Catholic in Komas Region. The fifth place, ladies and gentlemen, St. Boniface College, Kavango East. The sixth place we give to Walvis Bay Private School, Irongo, they've earned it. Seventh place is taken by Wendy Private School in Oshikoto. The eighth place is taken by Yeru's Private School in Oshikoto. We want to know the potion that you are taking. The ninth place goes to Liberty Heritage Private School in Oshana. So goes the 10th place for Oshana Kabatana Private School. I promise you, you know, page 18 of 20. Page 18 of 20. We are getting there. The rank order of regions in advanced subsidiary level AS for full-time candidates based on the overall national performance. Ladies and gentlemen, previously in position number one, we have Kavango West remaining number one. Previously in the 12th place, we now have Hardap in the second place. Omasati was previously second, they are now third. Ohangwena in 2024 was at the fifth place. They are now fourth. Omaheke moved from eighth place to the fifth place. Ochisunjupa remained the sixth place. Oshikoto regrettably moved from the fourth place to the seventh place. Kavango East previously was in the third place, they're now eighth. Komas previously was 10, they are now 9. Zambezi last year were in 2024 was in the 7th position. They are now 10th. Irongo remain at the 11th position. Karas moved from 14 to 12. Kunene moved from 9 to 13th place. And Oshana moved from 13 to 14 places. This rank order, similar to the NSSEO regional remarks, reflects notable shifts in performance between 2024 and 2025, with some regions indeed recording significant improvements, while others experience relative declines. Again, the important question, what must we do different? Overall, the volatility in regions' rankings underlines the need for all regions to sustain focused academic support and to avoid complacency at all levels while strengthening quality teaching and learning at the AS level. As I conclude, ladies and gentlemen, I wish to reaffirm that the outcomes that I presented today reflect indeed a collective investment of our nation in education. It reflects on the perseverance and the determination of our candidates, the professionalism and hard work of our teachers, and the sustained support of our parents, communities, and stakeholders across the countries. Across the country. We only have one country. To all candidates, I commend you for your commitment, your discipline, and the grit you have demonstrated during and throughout your academic journey. For those who have achieved the desired outcomes, may this success serve as a firm foundation to you that learning never stops, so that there's continued learning for your future aspirations. To those whose results may not have been reflecting their expectations, I wish to encourage you to view this moment not as the end, but as an opportunity for true reflection and growth. Please take time to get to terms with your results, and I'm encouraging the parents to provide the required emotional support to all our learners. We must remember that education is a lifelong journey, and therefore challenges present also opportunities to strengthen our resilience and improve the outcomes. And I wish to move to a next point before I conclude. With this in mind, and having said that, I wish to again go back to the issue that many of us in this very auditorium, myself included, ladies and gentlemen, are products of second chances. When with opportunities granted to us that we had to embrace, we still managed to thrive. I want to address an important issue concerning the provision of second chance opportunities to candidates throughout part-time pathways. This is the cohort that has expanded significantly over the years, as evidenced by the figures that I presented earlier. While the ministry recognizes and values the critical role played by part-time tuition and examination centers in providing a second chance to candidates who seek to improve their results or who wish to re-enter formal education pathways, this responsibility, in all seriousness, must be exercised with the right level of professionalism, the highest level of integrity, and genuine educational commitment. These centers are reminded that they exist to serve candidates, many of whom are vulnerable but highly motivated to change their life's journey through education. Any practice that places financial gain upon or above, any practice that places financial gain above genuine academic support exploits the generations of learners and fails to provide meaningful teaching, guidance, and learner support. We cannot have this, ladies and gentlemen. There are entities that are over-enrolling, overcharging, and they are not delivering to their mandate. That is unacceptable, and we will not tolerate that. The ministry expects all registered part-time centers, both for tuition and examination centers, to operate with the highest levels of integrity, professionalism, ethical standards, and responsibility, and to truly deliver the quality instruction, placing the academic success, the dignity, and the well-being of candidates at the core of their mandate. Should any evidence of exploitation, maladministration, or malpractice be identified, the ministry will not hesitate to institute appropriate and/or extreme punitive measures. These options will not be taken lightly and will ensure that candidates are protected while also making sure that we safeguard the credibility and the integrity qualification, which serves as a vital national asset and the currency of our education system. I actually don't want to say finally because there are still two paragraphs. To you all, ladies and gentlemen, my sincere appreciation to all our partners, our UN partners, working so closely with us, members of the diplomatic corps, all internal and external role players and stakeholders in education, who continue to support the ministry in strengthening the credibility, the integrity, and the relevance of Namibia's national examination system. Through our shared commitment, we are building an education system that will surely equip our young Namibians with knowledge and skills and values equally required to contribute meaningfully to national development and to compete confidently in a global environment. Namibians do not need to stand back for anyone on a global level. We've proven that. We need to strengthen that now and improve equally. On that note, all candidates are hereby informed that the 2025 NSSEO and AS examination results will be accessible via the ministry's official website. Alternatively, candidates may obtain their results by sending the candidate number via SMS to 99099 or through WhatsApp to 085-785-6231 shortly after this press release, as from 12:15 p.m. In addition, regional offices and examination centers will provide the results of individual candidates as from today. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's hot in here. All the energies, all the excitement. But thank you for your kind attention. And congratulations once more to all our candidates and to Team Education for this timely release of the 2025 results. Thank you very much.
And there you had it from the Minister of Education, Arts, Youth, Sports and Culture. I always get the order quite wrong, but yeah. Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Arts and Culture. That is MASEC, Sanet Steenkamp. Of course, joining us in studio now telephonically is Risto Mushongo. And he's a coach, a mentor, and is going to speak to us also about this result. Risto, very good afternoon and wonderful to have you in studio with me.
Absolutely, and thank you very much for having me.
Sure. Of course, we're talking about grade 12 results. To just make it plain, we're talking about grade 12 results that the students have written, whether ordinary level or advanced subsidiary level results are out. And for some people, perhaps, I don't know which percentage exactly at this point, but for some people, they haven't performed so well. And of course, they would want some upliftment and encouragement to say it's not the end of the world. Risto, what do you say?
Am I audible?
Loud and clear.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. No, I want to inform the young ones to say that if they look within the world, there is nobody who became successful who have never failed. So everybody or everyone has failed at one point, and what determines is how do you stand up from that fall. And failing, failing does not define you that you are stupid, but failing is also teaching you where to correct yourself. It's an indicator of life. Where do you want to concentrate? And there are some certain things that young people maybe have committed themselves that that made them also not to perform well. So it is good that those that that have failed, they are going back to the drawing board, recheck themselves, where did they not performed well, what contribute those contributing factor, and then they can bounce back. And I'll tell you today that some of us who are here, we are coming from failure. We are failed grateful.
Pause for me, then, Risto.
Yes, but
forgive me. Pause for me just shortly so we make room for a scheduled commercial break. Just stay on the line.
Omarandithiro, we hira kamuha. Yanjie ombango batule wana nubi watuko nduwa tokolo mbanda. Inga omashivithiro omana hepero chinene, okulako ministry otutu mbono wikuno, omivano mathuni no wehi. Alikane puratene na wa numuhana sane ombulenji kwa unepo wetu nduroye, obarara nganda no mapanga. Omenara shike, omenara kusha omahiwa kolo mbanda mwana nubia, omahiwa horo mende, nukaye sakurandisiwa munga mwa omano auhe. Okukara norupa munga mwa omangulilo ngasha manomarandisiro po, omarandiro omahi, ochinashichiri penje oveta. Oveta yomathuni omahi wa kolo mbanda, oveta oisha tano, yombura enji onayewali nambali, isha era oukahu onga nolonjito ohamukua na indo. Omberero yomarandisiro omahi penje oveta. Olomberero kochi veta, ovakatu ke oveta mapea abehunga mwa iyo olomberero lokuthuta ochimariva po omberero yokukara mondeko. Ondombero yongaro ombwa yoshiwana. Okurandisa po, okuranda ehiro kolo mbanda, marire ochinashima chitwara kolo njaka halomahi, nomba meno mokatiko biwa na vietu. Muhepa okushua shike, ehiro kolo mbanda ehiretu atuhe, oro omahaneno woburo yetu, jimaiso kuyeta ombwiro komundu auhe. Okutila obiruma twa yetu, kehiyo mwano wakutenga ehiretu rokolo mbanda, etemonao tuyanja ondengero kondenguyo mbalu yetu, nokushevera olondendera letu. Chivisa obishitwa vyo penje oveta. Chuno mahaka wanga mwa omangulilo penje oveta, alika na chivisa omahakango kuhona pare ombalu, ochirata shomahi wakamuha, po kombero ya ministri njiri popelu noruko ndwaroye. Katungule pamwe okushevera olongulo letu rokolo mbanda mena prolontito na la muhuka. O ministri kaina kukara no mediri ya wanga mwa ombanjarero yolongulo lehi duma letwa iyo marandisiru omahi rokolo mbanda penje oveta. Lemburuka kusha kehiro kolo mbanda ochina ochihude gaturi tide kehiongaro ombwa nungi nongulikiro kubandu abehi. Okuhepa koma ungulilo wakumwe, ombude yorati yonji, yadikamithiwa pamwe no batu la shimariwa okulako horomende ya Namibia, no horomende yehiro bando ishi, okupitira mwombanga yomekulisiro yehiro bando ishi. Konjivisiro yoko mungu, alika na hakaena kweno mbero yorupa roma ungulilo wakumwe, kweno shiwana, mwaministri yotutu ngono mikumwa, omeba no matuni no wahi, po kongole no mora inji, onora, ohambo umwe, oimwe, ombali, onora, ohambo ndatu, ohambo mbali, ohambo umwe, ombali, no mumu.
Okay, and we are back. Risto, you still on the line?
Yes, yes.
So sorry for that. But you were busy telling us an example. Your own example of, you said something about we also came from thee in terms of failure.
I've said we are all coming from there. True. I felt like this.
We all have failed in life one way or another.
Exactly. But today we are here to get it. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I want young people to learn is that, you know, there are those that were in front of us, people that flying passes with flying colors. But those people, we even overtook them.
That's true.
So it's about what is next. they need to go back to the drawing board, mm-hmm. get that energy, and tell themselves to say, I have done this mistake, and I'm correcting it, and I'm moving forward. They should not feel bad that they have failed. They must just say that they have tried, and that's what they have done, mm-hmm. and they can improve from that.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. But let's talk about your home. What, Risto, tell us first. Tell the listeners your hometown.
Kavango East.
Kavango East. I need to know what Kavango East is doing that we from Commerce, North and other places need to employ. What, what is it that you people are doing that you're producing such good results, huh?
You know, first of all, I need to say thanks to our, Director of Education in Kavango East. The leadership and her team, wow, it's awesome. And also the educational inspector, awesome. And then also the principals, the teachers, just that dedication. You know, some of us, we have these programs on the radio where we talk about the importance of education, encouraging going to school, giving them our example, how did we made it in life. You see, just to motivate, to give them that vuma. You get it? You know, there is a time where a person, you need some oil. And this is the time, the same thing that young people, and this is the same thing that we have done in schools. And I cannot take this credit from the teachers. The teacher have put more, and I could see even my kids, just after school, they are telling me, Daddy, we are going back to extra classes. Those extra classes did something. You get it? And then this also having this private tutors, for us parents paying for private tutors, your kid can be taught at home. You see, those things have contributed. And that's why you see today Kavango East came number one. And remember, 2024, we're at number seven.
Yeah.
And we say that, no, we are going to improve.
Yeah.
And it's a race now between Kavango West and Kavango East, and this is, it's a healthy race for us.
Kavango East now came number?
Number one.
From
Kavango
number
West, I think Kavango West dropped a bit, but I could, maybe I didn't check, they came number one.
Imagine.
I was just happy for our region.
Imagine from such, it's a whole big gap actually, hey? Jumped from one position to the next, to a better position, or even the very best position. And you're just like, oh my word.
Because
Kavango West came number three, I mean number four.
No, number four, yeah. And I think one thing that we also looked, for example, as parents, when we go for those school parent meeting, we emphasize the school. We want to see the improvement, you know, those mock exam that we go and scrutinize. Why did they perform 86%? We wanted 100%. This motivated the teacher that no, parents are also bringing their part. And then learners are also bringing their part.
Yeah.
Teacher also brought their part. So what do you expect? That's why we are talking.
That's so true. That's so true. Hey, yeah. You spoke something that's quite very significant and very important about after school classes, classes, and getting a tutor. I think for many parents, I think they neglect this. I also somewhat neglected it last year, which I want to really put in effort with my kids this year. It really does pay off having whether it's an extra tutor or a tutor, or allowing the kids to stay after school. And I remember the principal for the primary school where my kids go to school. She was actually complaining that parents, we always make excuses for our children not to attend those extra classes after school, saying, no, my child's going to be tired and hungry, forgetting that when they come from school and go home, all they do is play, you know, go in the street and play, when they could have really spent the time at school. And
You see, because teachers know that this child needs extra hours. That's why it's so important when they go for those extra classes, the teacher already realized to say, okay, I need to spend more time with these kids that need special attention. Because sometimes 45 minutes for a teacher, you are not able to convey, to cover everyone. That's why when you go for those extra, so you have now time also to be covered. So for me, I agree to say those things contributed much in terms of performance and I applaud them and I want them to continue.
Yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely. Kavango West was still number one in 2024 and still number one in this year. There's many shifting of schools, you know. I've come to notice there's a lot of shifting. Some came from very far and went up, you know, to really doing best. But generally, what stood out for me is Hardap. Hardap region, we're going now with the region, Hardap region, was 12th position last year, is now number 2nd position. And
wow.
I quote something that the minister said as she was reading out the results. She said, there's a place for everybody under the sun. And, you know, I think I would want that to sink in all of us to say, if it didn't happen in 2025, it might happen in 2026. And if it doesn't happen in 2026, maybe then 2027, but eventually it will happen. What do you say?
It will. Yeah. There is nothing that cannot happen when you put time.
Mm.
Time pays. Yeah. It depends how many time that you're putting.
Yeah.
Because you might put only an hour, others are putting 4 hours. So the result will differ. So you are just putting an hour. So it's so important that if you look at Hardap, the time that they invested, that's what they have reaped. So it's so important that now this is a healthy competition for schools, because I've also had teachers been awarded. You see, these are healthy competition.
Yeah.
For me, it's like yo, I need to go for teaching, you know?
I felt the same thing. I thought I was the only one who was provoked to think.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm not an educator, neither do I really want to be, at least not in that angle, not in a classroom. But I felt so motivated. Yeah. Like, I think being a teacher is a beautiful profession, yo.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you are there to say, you're getting 100% all you learn up. You know, that feeling.
Yeah.
Hmm? That you have contributed to the development of this country.
Contributed to many families, many households.
Exactly. To many families, to many wealth that these kids are going to make.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And you know what? And they you still find some learners or some students, they go on to do really well in life and they come back and even offer you something, even if it's a sweet resto, when they come back and say, you were my great 12th teacher.
Let me tell you one thing. You know, I like on our secondary, né?
Uh-huh.
I went to speak to, during something, I was doing a training and then there are some learners, I went to speak there.
Mm-hmm.
And then this learner came to me and said, you know what? I'm going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
After so many years, maybe 6 years, we met in Spa, in Ochivarongo.
Yeah.
I could not notice. This learner just paid my grocery for 500. Do you remember that lady? I said, which one? That day, I said, oh my God.
You won't remember, but they remember.
They do. You see it. So everything that teachers does in a child, these kids remember. I still remember my kid, my teachers, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, if this specific teacher will still be alive, this person could eat my money.
Because this
person motivated me. You know, when I failed grade 12, this person was just there to say, no. I know you can make it.
Imagine.
Just go back. And I went and asked myself, I had too much play. So now let me cut from play. Let me concentrate with my books. Let my books be my number one friends. And I made it.
You see, I love one point again that you mentioned there. You identified the problem and dealt with the problem. And I think that's what a lot of students don't do, you know.
Yes.
As much as you have failed, they just go back and retry again without identifying where the problem really is, you know. Maybe their own is social media. They spend so much time on phone, on TikTok, on Facebook, and on Instagram. Now it requires that you identify that, you know what, my time is taken up by spending so much time on social media. Or perhaps for the another learner would be, my time is taken up by spending so much time with my friends. Hence, I didn't do so well. So now as you go back and perhaps you go to NAMCO, you now reflect and say, you know what? Let me cut down on social media, or let me cut down with friends. Otherwise, you keep repeating a cycle without really producing sufficient results that they desire.
Yeah, very much. Going back, you know, when you are setting up your goal, you need to look at what is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know this is the problem, You know, it's like everywhere you need to identify the risk factors.
Mm.
What were some risk factors that made you to underperform? Once you know those ones, you know how to now do your risk mitigation so that you don't fall in the same trap again.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing that I want to tell young people, those that did not make it. They must just sit down, be intentional, and be mindful.
Mm.
They need to be mindful. They need to be aware what went wrong. What did I do? What did I not do right?
Yeah.
And then being honest to themselves. And then they take it from there. Then the moment they change, nobody's going to motivate them because they draw motivation from themselves after picking up their challenges and they want to move further.
Mm.
Yeah.
Rista, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis.
Thank you very much for having me.
Sure, it's a pleasure.
All right, great, thanks.
And there you had it from Risto Mushongo. Of course, he's a motivational speaker and a coach. You heard from his story as well as he spoke about how he failed grade 12. And right now, he's among those that are motivating and encouraging us and society. So there's always a chance and there's always a better, you can always try and do better for tomorrow. With that being said, let's pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, we'll be calling up yet another guest. Stay tuned for that engagement.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now joining me in studio telephonically is Otto Kapuka, a horticulturalist and as well as a motivational speaker. Did I say that right, Otto? Pleasure to have you again.
I'm not sure I do well a lot of things.
I know, right? I can't even really thoroughly explain your titles. I can't. But yeah, we need to talk about farming soon enough. We need to talk about farming.
God said you should not limit yourself because he has given you more potential. So,
thank you.
I don't know about the people who limit themselves, though.
Yeah, ne? An author. Yes. Anyway.
You can do whatever you want to do in the world as long as you play golf.
But it's so true. And you know what? Let's start off this conversation right from there. For most people, they think education is the only key to their success. Of course, education plays its part, but when I'm saying now education, I'm referring to university. Until they go to university and get a degree, they feel like they can't really achieve something in life. We're talking to you now, who's into horticulture, with your whole degree. You know.
But you also, there's something that they call you the University of Life, where you can learn all sorts of skills. You can acquire knowledge, you can acquire wisdom, and then there's also the knowledge and experience that comes from experience.
Yeah.
Some of the things, for example, writing books, you ought to write, it's your story.
Yeah.
And nobody has that story, but also within the community you are surrounded by other people who have multi-talented people who are around you. For you is to edit. There's somebody who went to school to study English, for example.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So they are there to edit your book. There are people who studied IT. There are people who went to study design.
Mm.
There are people who went to study all sorts of things. So for you is to write your book. Then the editor does their job. And then the person who does the layout and the design do their job.
Mm.
The person who is in printing do their job. And at the end of the day, by just writing, you might have created jobs for 10, 15 other people within the chain. And then, so that's it shouldn't be seen as a complex thing to write a book, for example, because you are assisted by other people who equally talented, who are equally experienced in doing their job. So yes, I write, but if you see, for example, a book that I have written, there's so many broken English. But once it goes to the editor, because we are not the editor, so once it goes to the editor, once it goes to the layout and the designer, it comes out perfect, and then it becomes a final product. So we shouldn't see these things as a very heavy mountain to climb. Obviously, it's not an easy thing to do.
Obviously,
but you should see it in the complexity of it, as it has so many layers to it. And once you cultivate all those stages and all those layers, it's easier to do, because you write, you send it over to the editor, send it over to who, you send it over to who, then you are an author, and it's done. It's very simple.
Now, with all those people in the chain that you spoke about, you know, many a times we look at a profession and we look down on it. Society has a tendency of doing that until perhaps 5-10 years later, they now realize, oh, IT is very significant. Oh, in our era, or being an author, being a motivational speaker at this point is very necessary, because a lot of people are going through so much, and what they need sometimes is not a lot of money, but a word of encouragement, and sometimes in listening, listening ear. So why isn't it important that even as the learners are looking at courses that they want to do, shouldn't look down on their talents and their gifts and what they really want to pursue?
Because sometimes when you go, when you study, you sometimes you are closed off because of lack of exposure, lack of experience, lack of network, and all these people, sometimes they are not around you. Sometimes your parents are only accustomed to the traditional courses that people study or field of study. And sometimes the people in your village or wherever you find yourself actually don't know about the world. I mean, if you are coming from the village, why would you know about writing a book, even though you are reading books?
Yeah.
how would you know about working on radio, even though your grandmother each and every morning wakes up listening to a radio? And even if you tell them I'm going to work on the radio, they sort of like, I know, radio, there's no money there.
Yeah.
But each and every morning when they wake up, they are listening to someone on the radio.
Even to keep them updated.
Exactly, even people who are watching television. So sometimes I don't even blame them, because they don't have the exposure, they don't have the experience. It's basic knowledge that people sometimes don't know. That's why people are saying, expose your kids to so many things. Expose your kids to so many things that when they become parents, then they are able to do the better things. So if you don't have all those things around you, then you might look down on some of the things. I had a conversation with a friend of mine. I think it was on Saturday. Just a quick one.
Yeah.
On Saturday. So I spoke to him about the goat farming. I'm like, oh, this goat farming is really becoming an interesting thing. I'm just getting in. I'm really excited. And he's like, yeah, there's no market. So I told him, I said, no, it's not about there's no market. It's about creating the market for the goat farming. If you see, we are just eating lamb meat wherever. We are just eating lamb meat. But you see why hundreds of us cannot get into goat farming and then start supplying goat's meat to the towns and to everywhere. So sometimes it's not about the market not being open for whatever you studied. Sometimes it's also about for you to prove the
market wrong. And the people wrong.
I'm going to open the market and I'm going to become successful in that thing. That is also the willpower that is in me, that whatever that I want to do, I want to become successful at it. I don't just want to do it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
I want to become successful, but I also want somebody to see it and like, actually it can be done.
Yeah.
It's like now we are selling mangoes in Windhoek. A lot of people have mangoes in the north, in Katima, but they don't have the willpower to come and sell mangoes in Windhoek.
True.
So me, I'm like, I'm going to take them there. They are not going to go rotten.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a way. They are going to arrive in Windhoek and I'm going to sell them and I'm going to become successful in selling them.
Nice.
So that is the power that we have within us, that you can study whatever course that you want, no matter how saturated it is. If you are a teacher, for example, I'm hearing teachers that are not getting a job. But if you see many of the private schools that we have,
yeah,
they are from people from outside the country.
True.
Why are people not able to say, I'm going to go back to my village, I'm going to come up with a kindergarten, and while I'm looking for a job, I might as well be teaching kids from my village. Every parent will pay me a $5, and then we'll see how this is going to go. Sometimes by the time you get a job, you don't want to go work in the government,
mm-hmm,
because this thing is booming.
Mm-hmm. It's giving you more money.
And for effect, we know that we do need more schools because the schools are overcrowded.
Yes.
So some parents then will start removing their kids from government schools so that they can put them in private because they can afford. Those who cannot afford, they take to government. And then we have resolved an issue,
mm-hmm,
that the government is dealing with, that the community members are dealing with. So sometimes we must also just stop complaining.
Sure.
We must just stop complaining. Yes, there's no lack of schools, but we have unemployed people in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them land, let them build, let them start, and then we support them from there.
That's right. You're right. Now, and as you speak, a very beautiful idea, I must say. But you always have good ideas, even in your book. You always have good ideas. That's the thing about you. So, good ideas an idea is coming to my mind to say, imagine 3-4 unemployed teachers coming together from one perhaps vicinity, coming together to build a private school. And that private school start off. And you know, private schools, you don't pay the same as you pay or contribute for government schools. I tell you a story. There's a lady from my community. She's a qualified teacher, didn't get employed, and she started her private school. And as it is, I had to send my daughter from Windhoek to go to the north because the schools around me were just not doing so well. And the ones that are doing so well, I can't afford them. And I tell you, she did so well. And I'm ever grateful to that lady. But I wonder how many people can actually stand up and that do as she's doing. 10 years from now, that's going to be a great private school. But she started somewhere.
Because the willpower is, the willpower to do things and to start things off is not there. But like what I was saying, when you decide to build a private school, for example, you are not just building a private school for the kids that are coming to study there. There are teachers that are coming to work. There are builders that are going to construct that private school. There are places where you are going to order books, stationeries. There are, you know, can you see how the chain can run as fast as possible?
Mm-hmm.
You go to a clinic, the nurse that doesn't have a job, or they have a job, and they have quite good experience, they need to get out of the system, the government system, so that they can go to the clinic, even if people are just paying you $10 to start off. Okay? So you can even run it while you are working in the government, and then you employ the people that are unemployed. That's a nurse, that's a teacher, that's a person who graduates from Ogongo College of Education.
Mm-hmm.
They need to run a garden, that's an agricultural extension officer. You can see the amount of things that we can do with our education, but because sometimes we think, there's no funding. But if you see the amount of alcohol that we consume in the country and that the people consume, the amount of expensive clothes that we wear, sometimes we need to start off from somewhere. And I guarantee you, a lot of young people nowadays want to do things, but sometimes they also don't know how to employ, who to employ, because if I employ you and I want to pay you $1,000 to start off, you think I'm joking. But that's the level where I am. But if we work together so hard enough, then we're going to reach a certain level. But also in the process, you are gaining experience that you can get your managerial position somewhere.
Correct.
So a lot of young people need to understand this. Even if those that are at university, you cannot come from university and then you go watch Netflix. You are an adult, for God's sake. You can see in the newspaper that people are asking for people with experience.
Yeah.
You will never be asked in an interview about a Netflix movie or a Netflix series. They will ask you about the experience that you have. So if you are at Ogongo, when you are going for holiday, look for an agricultural project somewhere and go and say, I want to volunteer. If they don't want, sit and cry until they give you the opportunity. Go to a clinic somewhere, go to a school somewhere,
mm-hmm,
try to do something that gives you what? That gives you that that experience.
In that exposure.
In that exposure, which then widen your horizon. And when that horizon is widened, then you are able to see the world not just in one lens, but in 100 multiple of lenses. And that gives you the ability to reason better and also to do better within your community. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have studied sports science,
do something in the sports fraternity. Sometimes, really, as I'm repeating this one over and over, that as youth, don't be overcrowded by the things of the world.
Mm.
Be crowded by things that makes your community a better place, and then you enjoy the things of the world.
Mm.
Sometimes it's better to change the equation so that you can get the desired results and outcome, as opposed to just focusing on one thing and thinking graduation, get a job. You are somewhere in Windhoek in those bar taverns, and you are vibing on some, what is this thing that they smoke nowadays?
I even forgot about it. The one with the vibe. It's a vibe.
The happy. The happy.
Oh, thing. Okay.
And then you are dancing, and then before you know it, you are 30, and then you are depressed, and then you don't achieve the things that you wanted to achieve. But also, obviously, this is the other side of it. Young people need to go through these things so that they can learn, and then they can chicken themselves out.
Yeah, we learn from experience sometimes. Sometimes experience is the best teacher.
Exactly. But for us, we have gone a mile now. We know we have worked, and sometimes even if you have worked on your own, when you get into the formal employment, sometimes you get even a bigger and better position because of your ability to do multiple things and the ability to do things even without supervision because you have worked already on your own. And when you get a managerial position, even if your boss is not there, you know, I need to do this because it's very important. It's contributing to A, B, C, D, F. And then after that, I'm good to go. When you are leaving the world, you must leave a world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
When they are mentioning your name, they shouldn't look from everywhere to see who is this person. When they mention you, they know this is the guy who produced medicine. That's it.
Yeah. Otto, thank you so much. Of course, this is only the beginning of 2026. We still have to engage you properly and thoroughly so we can extract some wisdom from you. Thank you so much for making time for us.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. And there you had it from Otto Kapuka. He is an author, a horticulture. He's into agriculture and farming, and he also studied adult learning. I can't say the course very well right here, but yeah, he's into many things, sincerely. And yeah, I do agree with his sentiments to say sometimes we just need to set our priorities straight. I think I summarized that way. For now, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Of course, you tuned into On the Reading News Analysis right here on your number one talk radio station. We pause here now. We'll be back shortly with more news. Stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The Gauteng Premier, Panyazalis.
Okay, and now brace yourself for news beyond the borders of Namibia. We're starting off in South Africa. Now, yesterday, we did bring you individual results in South Africa that we announced. Now, for today, Gauteng officially announces for the province 2025 metric results. Let's take a listen.
The Gauteng Premier, Panyaza Lesufi, together with the MEC for Education, Sport, Arts and Culture and Recreation, Matume Chilwane, are officially announcing the province's 2025 matric results and top achievers at the Telkom Park in Centurion, Gauteng. Let's listen in.
We are not pursuing a single lever. We address quality through quality improvement, quality learning through quality improvement strategies that transform classroom performance. We work with teachers to improve their craft. We invest in the active learning of children in the classroom across all schools in the province. And simultaneously, we introduce interventions that compensate for poor family literacy levels and the impact of poverty in communities across our province. As we celebrate the class of 2025 with much pride and excitement, it's only fitting and a privilege to recognize that our success is due to our collective commitment to growing Gauteng together. In this regard, I reiterate our commitment to pursue a quality, equitable, and inclusive basic education system for all young people of our province. The work we did with the class of 2025 included supplementary materials, textbooks, study guides, revision notes, worksheets, reaching learners beyond what their home circumstances could provide, vacation classes during autumn, winter, and spring breaks, turning holiday time into learning time, morning and after-school classes in schools and districts where learners needed extra support, intensive teacher development on content and pedagogical methodology and on assessment practice. We also mobilized volunteer tutors from communities and universities. ICT interventions included devices, data connectivity, online content, virtual classroom, broadcast lessons, so that learners in townships could access the same learning resources as learners elsewhere, in anywhere. And we did this with a differentiated approach. Support for learners at risk of underperforming, but also targeted coaching for moderate to high achievers, because excellence at scale requires lifting everyone. And this is what growing Gauteng together means in practice. CG, our system is more stable. CG is the Consulate General. Maybe some are wondering who I'm talking to. We've got the Consulate General of the Chinese People's Republic of China present with us. The largest share of candidates were 18 years old, indicating on-time progression through the system. The percentage of learners unable to sit for the exam has fallen sharply. Part-time repeat candidate numbers have also declined. These may seem like administrative details, but they point to something essential. We have a system that is functioning. Young people are progressing. The machinery is working. Stability is the platform on which quality must now rise. So before we celebrate, let me address something essential: the credibility of these results. I know some were worried about that scandal that took place. Around, I think we had about 26 learners who are accused of copying. They were caught with a memo. But it's not a GDE problem, by the way. I repeat, we have nothing to do with it. Actually, Member Dos Santos, we are the ones who caught a problem. Our markers are the ones who identify that something is wrong. Why are these learners' marks are like this, word for word? So we're the one who alerted DBE of a problem. But the problem, the issue is at DBE level, not Gauteng. Because there were some who thought the problem is within our system. Our system is very tight. Our protocols are tight. I can tell you, with this level of tightness for exams, we can finish crime in no time. No time. So ours is tight. There's no loophole. That's why we're able to pick it up. Because also our markers are at that level. They're able to pick up that here I'm marking the script. There's something wrong here. They alerted and they were able to identify those 26 learners. Umalusi, our independent quality assurer, has examined these results thoroughly. They have pronounced that they have identified no systemic irregularities that have compromised the credibility and integrity of the National Senior Certificate Examination. Where irregularities appeared, as they sometimes do in any system this large, they were investigated and dealt with. Where weaknesses were found in our processes, we strengthen controls and consequence management. These results of our learners are earned, not gifted. Our examination process in Gauteng was clean and successful. The integrity of these qualifications is assured, and that matters because a qualification is only as valuable as the trust it carries. And in this regard, the NSC carries that particular trust. But I want to talk about something that the raw percentages does not capture. Something that matters more than headline numbers. In 2009, the gap between no-fee schools and fee-paying schools was 24 percentage points. That was the gap between fee-paying and no-fee-paying. This was a huge gap. Today, as I speak to you, it sits below 7 percentage points. That is not accidental policy. That is deliberate investment in equity. So what does that mean? No-fee township schools have achieved a pass rate of 87.3% this year. And notably, it's up from 86.4% in the previous academic year, 2024. And fee-paying schools achieved 93.8%, which is also up from 93% in the previous academic year, 2024. We invested significantly in technology in township classrooms for there to be computers, connectivity, and multimedia learning. We organized supplementary...
Meanwhile, still in South Africa, heavy rains have disrupted Giani businesses.
Giani and Limpopo say heavy rains have disrupted their businesses. Several parts of the province have been experiencing heavy rains for the past few days. The South African Weather Service has issued a warning for severe floods in areas including Dzanin, Giani, Phalaborwa and Thohoyandou. The authorities have also advised residents to be cautious. For more now on the situation in Giani, we're joined by resident Vinolia Ndobe. Ms. Ndobe, thank you so much for your time on the program. Let's start with the situation where you are in your community this moment.
Good morning. It is very bad in Kiani right now. If you can see where I'm standing behind me, it's flooded. All the shortcuts to Benstow is closed. It's flooded. The bridges to Benstow is also flooded. So unable to move. Basically, there's no movement. Small cars are getting swept away. It's very bad, guys. Very bad.
Has there been any assistance at this stage, maybe from a disaster level from the municipality?
No, we haven't received any assistance from the municipality, except for some updates via WhatsApp groups. That's when we've received some videos saying that the part of the mall is closed. There are some entrances that we're unable to use. But then so far, there's no much assistance from them.
What would be your greatest plea as we're having this conversation now to the authorities that are watching?
If at least they can notify people, warn them that they shouldn't use certain roads because they already know, because this is not the first instance that we've been experiencing this kind of flooding. So because they already know, at least if they alerted people that there are some routes that they're not supposed to use, but then it's quiet and we're afraid some kids might get swept away coming from school.
And Vinolia, just paint a picture for us. Just what kind of a community are you there? Paint a picture for us on what the terrain looks like at this moment.
It is still raining right now. And it's bad because all the roads that we use usually to bend stuff, they are always flooded somehow. If it's not sewages, it's this rain that keeps on raining and sweeping all the small streets away. So it has always been like this. The municipality knows, but then there's no fixing of roads. It's always like this. Seems like we always experience one thing time and again.
And as we have in this conversation, we are told that hawkers are also complaining because this has also brought their businesses to a grinding halt. Just how has this affected some of those activities within the community?
Exactly. Some hawkers are not even working, and some of the shops, even the big stores, are not open. And we understand even the movement to Benstow is limited. I think it's because there's no transportation from the nearby villages. So everything is in halt as I speak with you right now.
Meanwhile, in Zambia, heavy rains also caused chaos in Garden Park.
Garden Park community is among many experiencing floods following heavy rains. Storm waters have covered pathways, leaving residents with no option but to wade through, despite the health risks. Some have started vacating their homes, which are no longer habitable. Area Councillor Gerard Samboko has attributed this situation largely to structures built along drainage ways.
That is affecting my ward is actually coming from the industrial area. And because of lack of the drainage, we have this problem. We have over 100 households that are affected where they are actually submerged in water.
Mr. Samboko says the Lusaka City Council has been engaged to address the problem.
There's a TLOB that Lusaka City Council has released to just do some openings to make sure that people are out of water. Otherwise, something is being done. The other appeal to the residents is that when we ask them to open up, especially like making holes on their wall fences to let water pass through, they should just allow us so that at the end of the day, we make this water move to the roadside. We stop blocking the waterways. What is actually affecting us mostly is that people are building on the road reserve, making it difficult for water to flow down. So if we can avoid building wall fences where water passes, this problem will not be there. So I'm actually advising our residents to stay away from that.
Kasabula Muchimba, ZNBC News, in Lusaka.
Free education law is planned for February.
Just after sunrise, school bags bounce on young shoulders as Form 1 and Grade 10 pupils walk through the gates of Kamwala Secondary School, marking the start of a new academic journey. For many, it is their first step into secondary school, a mix of excitement, nerves, and hope written across their faces. Greeting the learners at the gate is Education Minister Douglas Yakalima, offering words of encouragement and reminding them that education remains their strongest foundation for the future.
Dive under the pages of your books. That is what our head teacher used to tell us. Dive under the pages of your books. Then you can be anything in the world.
The minister says government is now moving to anchor the free education policy into law, a step he says will permanently guarantee every child's right to education, regardless of family income.
Our Education Act is changing and presenting a bill in February to lock this policy into law. So that it becomes law. So that policy of free education is not only a policy now. In February, it will be law.
Meanwhile, Lusaka Province Education Officer Terry Changwe says the confidence seen among learners is backed by strong results, with the province recording an impressive pass rate for both Form 1 and Grade 10 entrants.
We recorded an increase in the pass rate at Grade 9, where we moved from 57.82% to 74% this year.
Kamwala Secondary School head teacher Chiliva Mamba says more than 1,000 Form 1 pupils have been enrolled this year, numbers he describes as a clear sign of growing trust in public schools.
Every career path will provide information of the expected jobs of the children, and we'll see that at the time we'll do some one or two issues. You may sample one of the cases. You'll realize that the parents, they will go home fully satisfied that the competence-based curriculum that you yourself and your government brought in is what this nation needed.
Mr. Siakalima has since urged learners to remain disciplined and focused, reminding them that education is not just a pathway to employment, but a powerful tool to break cycles of inequality. Doreen Chembe, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Uganda pushes to become Africa's AI hub.
At Uganda's Karuma Hydropower Plant, a major energy project built by China on the River Nile, Africa's digital ambitions are taking shape alongside its power infrastructure. Developers say the facility is designed to support large-scale artificial intelligence computing, At Uganda's Karuma Hydropower Plant, a major energy project built by China on the River Nile, Africa's digital ambitions are taking shape alongside its power infrastructure. Developers say the facility is designed to support large-scale artificial intelligence computing, with operations expected to be built by China on the River Nile. Africa's digital ambitions are taking shape alongside its power infrastructure. Developers say the facility is designed to support large-scale artificial intelligence computing, with operations expected to
Let's move on to other news. Experts discuss Africa's growing push for AI infrastructure.
How important is it for Africa to have its own artificial intelligence data centers?
Thank you very, very much. It's actually really long overdue. If you look at Africa, it's no longer something that we really need to talk about. We know that our population growth, if you look at it, we have the youngest population in the world. So, and now are talking about a technology that is as transformative as artificial intelligence, we really, really need to be at the highest end of the continent in terms of using it, but also in terms of having a say in how it is being data is processed. Of course, currently we can comfortably say that we are not happy that all the data has to, the data generated on the African continent is being processed elsewhere, and then we become, instead of us having been primary processors and users, we have become secondary users. Okay, therefore, when we look at this, the emergence of the first of its kind data center on the African continent, and which is situated here in Uganda, come this very year, we start seeing signs of data sovereignty, at least reaching a point where we are comfortable to say that most of our data is not kept in offshore data centers somewhere. So we have that opportunity to have the digital sovereignty and computing independence, at least to start with. So now, if you have that, and you have a young population that is, if you look at as an educationist, I'll tell you, the education science really favors a young person to really learn very fast and study faster than when a person is really in their 40s, 50s. So if we have accessibility, if we have the independence of such data being processed within the African continent, you have young people really adopting it very fast, adapting to it very fast, and at the same time embracing it and then using it. So now AI becomes one of the languages they speak. So it ceases to be something they have to learn and use, but a language they use. And when it becomes a language, something they are using frequently, something that is part of their lives, that means now they are able to think with it, to solve problems with it, to innovate with it, and because it's what they experience on a daily basis. So it is coming close at home. So this AI data center coming on the African continent for the first time, it is really long overdue, but very much welcome.
Professor, you used the word transformative, and I guess that covers a lot of the opportunities that AI has for the continent. But what challenges would you say that AI poses to the continent?
Yeah, definitely, every technology comes with challenges. I should tell you that. But at the same time, you always have to do the cost benefit analysis of every technology to see what are the benefits.
What you call a supercomputer, an ecosystem of supercomputers,
do they outweigh
and AI factories
or the weaknesses?
All of that will be sitting on an 80-acre facility, which will take everything that's going in there. What we've done now is to break the project into four separate areas. The first part of it is the first supercomputer that is coming into Africa. It's called the USIO. USIO means, in Swahili, it means infinite.
The $1.2 billion project developed by Synetix Technologies, partners including NVIDIA and Schneider Electric, sits near the 600-megawatt Karuma Dam. Vopas say the location offers something rare in Africa, stable, renewable power at scale.
When we are looking at the hydro, it's extremely stable. It's green energy. It's very well priced. Also,
really,
the fact that we are also by the water, because there are certain challenges you have when you're running data centers, supercomputers, AI factories, and so on, which is the heat that it generates. So even the water from Victoria now
You now use it to cool down your system.
While advanced AI computing powers carry out research in North America, Europe, and parts of Asia, Africa has largely been left out until now.
This project reflects a growing shift where major energy investments are now being linked to digital infrastructure. Artificial intelligence requires constant heavy power, raising broader questions about whether Africa's energy systems are ready for AI-driven future.
Beyond computing, the project also includes an artificial intelligence center that combines research, training, and commercial innovation focused on African solutions.
How people we are currently developing our artificial intelligence strategy that we expect to be ready by the end of this financial year. However, all the other laws that we have in place, the Computer Misuse Act, the Data Protection Law, Electronic Transactions Act and all those are supporting the utilization and effective use of artificial intelligence.
Supporters say hosting AI infrastructure locally could help protect data, create jobs, and reduce reliance on foreign servers. Critics warn that without strict rules and access, countries could host advanced systems without gaining their full long-term benefits. Michael Balekesi-Etienne,
their countries, to use it to develop their communities, to ease services in their different communities. That is the goal, and shy away from using it negatively and in an ethical way. So we know that it can also do bad things, but we can educate our population to stick to the best ways of AI and refuse the bad ways of AI.
Thank you so much.
And with that being said, we have officially come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. To stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program, brought to you by Loise Shimi. From Indafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye.